Hey folks, this is Philip with the Everyday Fighter Podcast, where we share stories and insights of everyday fighters just like you. Today I'm talking with Jonathan Van Huysen. Jonathan is a husband and a father of four. We talk about how he decided to get back into martial arts from his previous experience as a child, but now as an adult, wanting to do something about his dad bod. But even beyond that, using martial arts as a way for his family to connect with each other. So looking forward to sharing that with you. But before I do, I wanted to give you two episode spotlights today. The first one is Steve Hartman and his segment On the Road that appears on the CBS Evening News on Sundays. And if you're not familiar with this segment, it's just amazing to me. It's one of my favorite things ever online. And what they do is Steve travels the country. He looks for individuals or organizations that are just doing great things for their communities. And the really just heartwarming segments really shows you all the good that people are capable of doing, even in small town America. So I encourage you, if you haven't already, to check them out. The second spotlight I wanted to share with you is a little bit closer to home. And if you didn't listen to it, a couple of weeks ago, I interviewed Dr. Megan Horn. Dr. Horn is a clinical psychologist, but she is also a self-defense instructor, specifically with Krav Maga. And that was a great episode for me, just because I have four girls myself. And self-defense for women is a subject that is really near and dear to my heart, because I want my girls to have the best resources possible in that particular area. So that episode with her was really fascinating for me, and I thought really important to continue to explore. So I had asked Dr. Horn if that's something she'd be willing to do, and she said yes. So what we've got planned for you in November is a two-part webinar series. The first webinar is going to address just women's self-defense as a whole, what the state of it is, why it's important, and the things to consider if you or someone you love is considering taking one of those classes. The second topic is going to be more geared towards martial arts and self-defense instructors that are looking to improve upon the things that are currently delivering. I know that's something for me as a martial arts instructor that I felt I really needed a lot more help with. So beyond just the techniques themselves, what are the psychological challenges that I'm faced with, especially when it comes to women and even people that have been through trauma in the past? And that's something that Dr. Horn specializes in as far as her clinical practice. So really looking forward to sharing those webinar sessions with you. We're still narrowing down the details for all those, but we have the dates. They're going to be on the 16th and the 30th of November, probably around 1 p.m. Eastern. But again, we're still nailing everything down as far as not only the times, but also how you would be able to listen to it live, but also interact with us, submit your questions and comments there. So again, really looking forward to sharing that with you. So those are our episode spotlights. Let's jump into the interview with Jonathan Van Huysen.
So, yeah, I actually grew up in California. I'm in Texas now, but only been here about 2 years. And when I was little, I had really bad allergies. So I would do like soccer and like outdoor stuff. And then as a result of my allergies, my parents stuck me in karate when I was I don't know, 7 or 8 years old.
So they took you out of the team sports and just put you into to karate?
Yeah, because it was indoors, so out of the pollen and grass and stuff like that. And then I kind of did martial arts off and on, mostly like Taekwondo style, throughout my entire life, but never like seriously. And then, when I grew up and got married and had kids, I wasn't really doing any martial arts in my, I'm gonna say, in my 20s. And I started to develop a dad bod, and just kind of went with that. It's
Well,
pretty.
Sylvester Stallone is a dad. So are you talking about that kind of dad bod or?
The undesirable dad
Oh,
bod, sure.
okay. Just want to
I had a gut.
clarify.
Yeah, I had a gut. I wasn't in the best shape of my life. I was just working too hard, stressed out about rent and all that stuff. We had a kid. We have four kids now, but at the time we only had one kid. And I just wasn't taking care of myself like I needed to be. And then fast forward to it was only about 7 or 8 years ago, and she's now 13. So let me think. So she must have been 6 or 7. We lived in Orange County, and our mailbox was maybe 50 yards from our front door. And I just looked at her and I said, "Hey, let's go get the mail." And we kind of looked at each other with that knowing look, and we started walking a little faster, and then she walked a little faster, and before you know it, we're like racing to the mailbox to go get the mail. And then we raced back because that's what 7-year-olds do. And I won because of my ego. I wasn't about to let a 7-year-old beat me, I won, but man, I was so out of breath. I was like, I'm exhausted. I'm done. I don't like that was it for me for the evening. My typical evening would be I'd walk in the door and my wife would have dinner ready, and I might play with the kids for a little bit, but more often than not, I'd hang out on the couch or do something like that. And so that particular day stands out in my mind as the day where I was like, I gotta do something about this. Like, this is not okay to, it's 50 yards there, 50 yards back, 100 yards. Like, it's okay to be winded, but I should not be just totally exhausted and like done for the day. So that's the day that kind of stands out in my mind where I thought something's gotta change. I gotta do something. In parallel with that, our second daughter has speech issues. So she'd been going to the speech therapist, and we've been looking for ways to help her out. And so one of the things that her speech therapist told us was you have to strengthen her core because all of your speech comes from your core. And having a strong core, it's not going to fix everything, but it's going to help. So her speech therapist actually told us, "Hey, why don't you try putting her in MMA?" And we're like, "What? Okay. All
Like,
right."
yeah, do you have can we see your credentials again?
Yeah,
Okay.
exactly. So we're like, whatever, they had a 1 month free trial or something at the MMA, so we're like, whatever, I'm game for anything. We'll give it a try. If it doesn't work out, what's the worst that can happen? So we had been taking her to the speech therapist, and then this thing with my other daughter where I was out of breath happened, and so I was like, well, I don't want to start running because I get bored running. I used to do that. I don't want to lift heavy weights. I just don't really have time to go to the gym, and I had all these excuses. But since my daughter was going to MMA, I was like, well, that looks kind of fun. Maybe I'll try that. So I started going. It was LA Boxing at the time. Now it's UFC gym. And so I started going there. They have like a 6 a.m. class or 6:30 a.m. class or something like that. And you just put on the boxing gloves, and it's cardio kickboxing is what I started off doing. I did that, and like I couldn't like a 20, 30 minutes into the class, I was just spent. And you know,
How
same
long
thing
was the
if
class?
it was an hour. I didn't make it an hour, but everybody else did. And I was just done. And like I actually went in the bathroom and I was like on the verge of throwing up. Like I was just done, you know. But you have that certain pride where like, no, I gotta make it, I gotta get through this, I gotta do this. And I just remember like thinking, this is not okay. I have to be able to at least do a cardio kickboxing class. So I did the cardio kickboxing, and my goal for like the first 3 months was just to make it for the entire hour of the class. It was led by he's a UFC guy. He's an MMA cage fighter, and he'd show us stuff. And then I got to working with him, and we'd spar off to the side, and he'd do private lessons and stuff. And I was like, hey, this is kind of fun. So then we got in the ring and started sparring with some guys, and they started offering more sparring classes. So I started doing that, and it turned into kind of a Thai kickboxing class. So I started doing that in addition to the cardio kickboxing, and then started seeing some results. My energy's going up, my weight's going down. And I'm just able to enjoy life more. And
Your
then you got
daughter and
the,
say, hey, you fancy a race?
yeah. And I'm like, are you sure? Because I know I can beat you now. And then you've got the other side benefits where I'm relieving stress while I'm hitting something in an acceptable manner, and I'm less irritable, I'm in a good mood more often, and I'm like, hey, this is all right. I'm kind of enjoying this. So then they started offering Brazilian jiu-jitsu classes, so I started doing that too. Next thing you know, I was going every day in some form or another, every weekday anyway. So I was going like 4 or 5 times a week, sometimes twice a day. Just doing stuff. If I wasn't doing cardio kickboxing, I was doing Thai kickboxing. If I wasn't doing that, I was doing jiu-jitsu. So, just kind of became a gym rat and started doing that. So that's kind of how I started and started doing it seriously. And like I said, that was like 7 or 8 years ago. I don't remember exactly when that was. And then when was it? About 2015, I think. My wife decided she wanted to do martial arts, but she didn't want to do the Thai kickboxing. I mean, we just get in the ring and beat on each other. That's more exciting than what she was interested in. So, then her other kids wanted to do it if she was going to do it. So they signed up at what Tangsudo is?
Yes, I've
Okay,
heard of it.
so it's a Korean martial arts similar to Taekwondo. So they signed up for a Tangsudo class and started doing that. So they were doing their thing over there, and I was like, hey. So a couple things happened then. I wanted to be with my family. If they're all doing it, I was like, all right.
Because they're doing it at a different studio, right? They weren't coming to your gym.
No, they weren't coming to the gym. They
But
were.
even your daughter, was she already over it at that point? Like the speech, I don't know if it did it help at all or
It did. At least we think it did. We were doing so much for her. It's kind of hard to tell in hindsight what helped and what didn't. But
But she didn't continue. She stopped going after the month or something, or
yeah, no, she did it for like 2 years. But then she was like, "All right, I'm done." It really is kind of a guy thing, you know, the kickboxing where, you know, you just beat up on heavy bags. It's kind of a guy thing, and she was kind of done. So, but then when this opportunity for the Tangsudo came up, they all went and did that, and so I'm kind of looking at my family like, you know, I think that's something I want to do with my family. And so as much as I enjoy the gym experience that I'm doing, I felt like it would be more valuable to do martial arts with my family, and kind of instill that with them. And at the same time, what was happening with the jiu-jitsu is that we'd have like a black belt come in and show us these like 15 move sequences where I was just like, well, I it was, that was really cool, but I can't do that. So I wanted some sort of progression. I wanted some sort of, you know, easy to more difficult sequence that I could follow and know that it was going to go step by step. So I was kind of looking for something a little bit different, and that was right around the same time that the Tangsudo came up. So I switched over. I did both Tangsudo and the gym for a little while, for like 6 months, and then I switched over and started doing Tangsudo with my family. And that just kind of became our thing. My oldest daughter was in dance. We stopped doing that. You know, we stopped swimming classes. You know, we pretty much stopped everything, and we decided, all right, karate is what we're doing as a family. That's what we're doing. So we were there all the time. You know, we were that family that's just there at the studio, just doing their thing. And you know, we practice it. My daughter was on the what do you call it, the competition team and the demonstration team that they had, and you know, we were into it, and you know, we just decided this is what we're doing. So we did that for like 2 years, and that brings us right up to 2016. And in 2016, we got an opportunity with my company to move to Texas, which is something we've been looking to do. So this everything up till now is in Orange County, California. And so we moved to Texas, and which makes the commute to our studio in Orange County pretty long.
A little bit.
And
A
a
little,
little
yeah.
bit
Even with
pretty
frequent flyer miles, it
Yeah, exactly. So we looked for a studio here, and we found a Taekwondo. Taekwondo is pretty similar to Tangsudo, or similar enough anyways. So we found a studio that offers Taekwondo and Jiu-Jitsu, and that's who we're with now. So I'm enjoying that. So we're into it 2 years here, and my daughter's going up for her black belt in October in Taekwondo, and I go up for my Taekwondo black belt in April of next year, and been doing jujitsu for about 2 years, and going strong. I'm a blue belt now, so I just got my blue belt in jujitsu in April, and I'm starting to lead some of the classes here for the lower belts and do that, and just having a good time. And you know, you don't realize how far you've come until you know, you don't realize the progression. You look back on it, and I think, man, I don't deserve to be a blue belt. I'm not talented enough to be a blue belt. But you know, last night I was rolling with a guy who's, I'm gonna guess, he's 250, 260 pounds. And I tapped him out. So I was like, okay, I guess I do know something. All right, I'm doing all right. So, you know, it's like one of those things, you don't notice your own kids growing up from 1 week to the next, but if you're away from them for a while and then come back, then you see the growth. And I think it's the same here. You don't see the growth in your martial arts journey unless something like that happens, where you know, something that you wouldn't have been able to do prior Now all of a sudden I can tap out a much bigger man than myself.
Well, I think it's a mindset too, right? Because, I mean, I'm sure you've seen a lot of this where there are people on the other side of that where they think, he hasn't given me my belt. I should have my belt now. I deserve it, kind of a thing, which is very different from what you're talking about. And I've felt it myself where, my teachers say, skip this belt or I'm giving this to you or whatever. And I'm like, really? I feel off about it. Like I felt like I didn't earn it in some way. And I think, and again, I mean, I think that's for me anyway, that's a rarer sight to see than the former. Some people are just like go with, whatever. They just go with the flow and whatever they say. But then, there's the side where, you're talking about people that are almost, they've got this, I forget the word, but I mean, they feel like they deserve it, right? They feel like they're entitled to it,
Entitled.
right? But then there's the other side, which is, again, rarer, where it's like, well, you almost don't want the belt, You almost like it feels like it's heavier on you. And I remember like one of my my first teacher, he said it, and it wasn't in this context that we're talking about it, but he was just that, whenever we get promoted, he's like, if you feel like it's a little bit of a burden on you getting this promotion, it should feel that way. It should feel a little bit heavier because, we're not, it's a one, it's a recognition, but it's also a reminder that you're always, there's always another level to go to, So I can absolutely appreciate that.
And I think it also means that you're taking it seriously, right? You're not just checking something off the list and, all right, next. It's an indication that it means something to you if you feel that way, I believe.
Well, let me contrast that then with your initial, like when you were a kid, like your first foray into karate, right? And getting those classes. I mean, did you always kind of have this mindset with it, or was that something that was different back then where it was checking the boxes? Or, I mean, they pulled you out of your regular sports and then put you into this. So was there an acceptance of like, yeah, let's do this, or was there otherwise?
No, I honestly wasn't into it when I was a kid. It was just like, all right, mom and dad took me to the karate studio, so here I am, and all right, I guess at karate studio, this is what we do, and just kind of going through the motions. I didn't really own it until I was an adult, until I started with the LA boxing.
Well, let me ask you then. I mean, because you got the four kids now, are all of them in the Tang Soo Do then? Or okay. So, how does that inform your experience? How does that inform the way that you approach it with your kids and how they approach it? Is that a concern for you that they might just be checking the boxes or just kind of going with the flow?
It's both. So I told them they don't have to go to black belt. And especially for our girls, we have two girls, two boys. I want them to be able to defend themselves when they get older. That's important to me. So I told them, you have to go up to a certain rank so that I know that if somebody approaches you and doesn't have the best intentions in mind, you at least have a chance that you can defend yourself, right? But to me, if somebody goes after the black belt, like that's their thing, that's what they're into, that's their hobby, and I've told them that's optional. They don't have to get the black belt, but they need to be able to defend themselves. And so far, our two boys really enjoy it. And our oldest daughter enjoys it. Our second child, our second daughter, she's not into it, and she actually dropped out recently. She does piano now, and that's much more her style.
And how old is she?
She's 11, so she made it up to the belt I am currently. So she made it up to about a year out from being a black belt, and then she said, "I don't want to do this anymore." I said, "All right, you've made it far enough. I feel like you know what you're doing. and I'm not going to make you continue. So she does piano now, and that's much more her style, much more her speed. So, okay.
It's a tough balance, though. I mean, like, particularly when you're talking about your intent for them being in this, particularly for your daughters, right? It's like, hey, want to get, because it's not just the moves, right? There's also that resiliency that is required, particularly in self-defense situations, right? Where it's like, something's happening to you, and it's like, well, there's the emotional bit of it as well, the shock of, and you got to get over that. Very difficult to train that bit, right?
It
Particularly in, oh, it's a nice air-conditioned dojo. We've got a soft floor here, whatever. So that's one thing where, it can be challenging in that setting to get that emotional component in there.
Right.
But then even after the emotional component, it's just like that resiliency of like, I'm going to make it, right? Or not today, MF-er. It's just kind of that where you hope they get that a little bit, and definitely martial arts is not the only way to kind of get that resiliency and to get,
Right.
to kind of get that intensity of focus on even surviving, right? I mean, like it's just having those kinds of stakes. But then, it's also different. Sometimes you can get that in less physical environments, but how much does that translate into when you actually have to move around in that type of thing? I mean, it just adds a whole new complication to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
How is your wife with it? Is she is she enjoying it? Is this just something that is does she have that same mindset as you do in terms of the progression and ownership of it and moving forward?
Not really. And actually, I have to backtrack a little bit. So she was in a car accident in April.
Oh, this past April, okay.
April 2018. So she's actually not doing karate with us at the moment. So she's just kind of taking a couple month break. But even before that, like she wasn't really into it. Like she tried it for a little while. She enjoyed it, but she doesn't like own it like I do. Like that's what I enjoy doing. Like if we've got an afternoon to go kill. And I got to go do something that's like, all right, you want to go to the gym, you want to go to the dojo, oh, let's go to the dojo. That's just what I enjoy doing. I might call up somebody and go, hey, you want to roll a couple rounds or something like that. And she's like, I'm gonna watch TV or whatever she does. So I like to not go the extra mile, but I'll seek out excuses to go to the dojo and roll with one of the guys, and just that's how I vent, that's how I work off my whatever you call it, just extra energy or and that's just what I do. So yeah, she's not as into it as I am.
Do you do I mean, it sounds like you're very entrenched in the martial arts, even like before your move, and even when you're living in California. Were there other kind of sports that you were into as well, or it was pretty much I'm just gonna do martial arts?
I did soccer. I did quite a bit of soccer growing up. My dad's from Holland, so soccer, Holland kind of go together.
Dutch kickboxing.
Yeah, but it helps actually. I can hit that bag like crazy.
So is it like so you did a little bit even like growing up, but I mean as an adult, were you doing
Oh.
pickup games and that type of thing, or?
No, I did some mountain biking when we lived in California, but Texas is pretty flat, so my mountain bike is just mostly sat in the garage and not got a whole lot of activity. But that's about it. I just mountain biking and martial arts is really all I have done as an adult.
'Cause that's one of the things that I try to convey, as I talk to folks about my experiences with it and why I'm like, I'm so hooked, you know, is that there's just something visceral, just natural, I think, about hitting the bag. You know, it's not even hitting the bag. It's even, I mean, call it what it is. It's violence, quite frankly.
It
You
is.
know, whether it's with somebody in a controlled setting, right? You know, your mouthpiece is on or whatever. But even if it's just against a bag, I mean, that's something I believe that is innate in us. And you know, how is it? Because here's the thing: like when some people might hear that, oh yeah, I just take out my aggression on the mat or on the bag or whatever. Particularly these days, they're thinking, this is a very aggressive guy. He's got anger issues, right? And so what is your feeling about that? What is your response to that? I mean, particularly in trying to get people to understand where you're coming from, right?
I've thought about that. Just wondered, do I have anger issues? Is there something wrong with me, or what's going on here? But I think you've got the anger issues. If you've got anger issues, you have the anger issues regardless of whether you hit a bag or not. And I don't think the martial arts causes the anger issues. I think if anything, it's an outlet for somebody that might have anger issues. There's just something very stress relieving about hitting a heavy bag as hard as you can for an hour. And then, you can't win against a bag. It's always going to win. But there's, like you said, there's something very visceral, something just putting as much effort into something as you can for an hour and just hitting it as hard as you can. There's just something very, I don't even know, addictive about that. And the same thing is true of jiu-jitsu. I'm rolling with another adult man, and we're trying to choke each other, break each other's arm, and I mean, we're not really, but you stop right before you actually do choke them out or they break your arm. You stop right at that point, and there's just something very real about it. In this world, we've gotten so far from real. We live in air-conditioned houses, go to air-conditioned office buildings, air-conditioned cars. We eat pre-packaged processed food. Everything is done for us. Everything is handed to us. And just rolling around on the mat, trying to tap another guy out, and he's trying to do the same to you. There's just something very real about that, and it just kind of brings you back to reality. And I don't know. It's just something that I have just really enjoyed doing.
Well, there's nothing pretty about it either.
No.
That's not something you can package up nice and neat, you know. Now, granted, there are rules around it. I mean, whether you see different competitions, UFC or boxing or any of the other sports, even to like tournament type style things, particularly in BJJ, like gis get messed up, right? Things get torn. Once in a while, you'll see a little a blo little or a lot of blood on the floor, but that's like. Yeah, there's no making it pretty, because ultimately it's not. And when it comes down to the just the our low our comp I hate to say lowest, because I don't like to put I don't want to put a value on it. It's just that a common denominator amongst all of us is that physicality, right? I mean, it's whether you try to intellectualize it away, try to tame it so that we can live in a kind of a tame society or such. It makes it a little bit easier to do business, in contracts versus in fist fights. It's like, oh, let's see how let's negotiate this on paper versus, oh, let's do a little fist fight and see whoever wins gets the better price or something like that, But there are limits. There are limits to that. And that's interesting when you talk about a BJJ, because there's not necessarily that hitting. And by the way, I think when people And I think, it's something I think about old sitcoms, right? When they think, oh, you want to hit something or whatever. Oh, you just imagine. And they could put like a little, a floating head of like the person's boss on the thing, and like you gotta hit or whatever. And but that's like focused violence on an actual person, right? And I don't know about you, but I most of the time when I'm going, I don't have any particular person in mind when I'm hitting something. They might have been the cause of it, right? It's like, oh my gosh, I'm having challenges with my oldest daughter or something like that. But then the thing that's left is just that stress inside. It's not necessarily, okay, it's because of her and I'm thinking about that. Although I'm sure that happens at times as well. But when you talk about BJJ, it's not just, you're not hitting something necessarily. It's that just that physical exertion, right? But beyond that though, so even whether you're hitting a bag or you're rolling, there's physical exertion, but you're still thinking. There's still a mental portion to it, right? So if people thinking that they might not be initiated in any kind of combat sports or any like physical contact in a controlled environment, they're thinking that, oh, it's just pure physicality, pure
Instinct.
violence. But that's not the case at all, particularly when you're rolling, right?
Absolutely. And if you're not thinking about what you're doing, if you're thinking about, oh, did I pay my water bill or whatever, I mean, you're gonna get hit if that's what you're doing, or you're gonna get tapped out. I mean, you have to keep your head in it. And that's one of the things that's attractive about it, is that it's an entire body experience. You have to be in it physically, but also mentally. And you can't do it any other way. But it also has that aspect, like you're saying, that physicality. Have you ever worked out in the yard, and you work all day out in the hot sun putting up, it could be something as simple as a fence or something. That's what I was doing last weekend. And then you work your butt off, and then at the end of it, you look back and you feel a sense of accomplishment, because it was so much work, so much effort to do on your part. But as simple as it is, in my case, a fence, you're like, yeah, I did that. That's up there because of me. And I kind of feel the same sense of accomplishment in martial arts. There's no shortcuts. I mean, you can't just go to the store, buy a black belt, put it on, and boom, you're a black belt, right? It doesn't work that way. There's no shortcuts. People will find you out in an instant. You step foot on the mat, they're like, you're not a black belt, you just bought that. And I think that's part of the attraction, is that there are no shortcuts, that it is something you can do for your entire life. It's a lot of effort, and therefore there's that sense of accomplishment, sense of a job well done when you're moving forward, when you're moving up in rank, and you're like, all right, this is working, this is good. And you feel like you did something, and you worked at it.
Let's talk about this. I mean, you mentioned getting the sparring and the Thai boxing before. Was that something that you had experienced, or even just had the memory of? Or was there anything from when you were a child going through karate that you were able to bring to that?
Not really. Unfortunately, the studio that I went to as a kid, for whatever reason, we didn't spar a whole lot. So it was mostly just forms, just the pure intellectual part of it. And that could also be why I wasn't into it as much at the same time, now that I think about it.
But when you started, now training with the kickboxing and the Muay Thai, there was contact. So, what was that experience like transitioning from? Now, I mean, did you grow up having fist fights and having bullies and that type of stuff? So, I mean, like from somebody that's completely didn't grow up in that environment, you weren't necessarily, you weren't a scrapper,
No,
right?
not at all.
Getting into a situation now where you've got again, other grown men there that are looking to make a bit of contact, how did you introduce yourself to that? What was that process like for you?
That's, I never thought about that. I remember the first couple of times it's like, well, he's hitting me. It's like he just hit me again. There's that kind of dazed, like, what just happened kind of reality check. And then it's like, well, what am I going to do? I guess I better hit him back or something. I didn't really know what to do at first. And then, after you've been hit a couple times, you just kind of adjust to it and settle in, and you go, okay, but it also the shock comes out of it. So now when I'm in this Taekwondo class and somebody hits me, it's, just shake it off. All right, keep going. And it just kind of prepares you for, any situation that you might have to deal with in real life.
Because that's something that you just talked about. It's like, because I'm assuming that these folks are very gracious. They understand where you're coming from, right? Being a novice to all of that, so they're not going to town like, oh, hey, this is like an actual living punching bag for me. Like,
Yeah,
they're
some
taking it
are.
easy. They're taking it, well, I mean, every gym's got a thing.
Yeah.
Ultimately, you learn how to navigate that a bit,
Yeah.
right? But but that's something where I think beyond just the pain of it, right? Because I think that's one thing with the fear is that, you're a lot of people fear the pain, but I think it's more, and I think you're speaking to this, it's more of like the shock factor, right? Initially of like, this guy's really, I can't believe this guy's hitting me. Because we're not walking around the mall, bam, 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 just going up the hill, right?
Well, I can count on one hand the number of fights that I've seen in my entire life, let alone been in. It's just not what we do in our society, right? And so when another dude puts on his gloves and starts hitting you, you're like, what is happening? This is weird. What's going on here?
So even now, though, like when you go in, I mean, I think you're doing more BJJ now, right? But you're sparring also in the Tang Soo Do, or?
I'm doing the Taekwondo and the
Oh, the
BJJ.
Taekwondo. Okay. So is there, would you, the shock is no longer there, necessarily, because you kind of understand what's going on. Is there, do you feel any fear? Are you feeling like, okay, I know I've rolled with this guy before. You got total confidence, or what is it like for you now getting into these, into the sparring and into the rolling with these guys?
Well, to quote, I think Conor McGregor, you either win or you learn, and I think that's pretty profound, and I've kind of adopted that mindset. Either I'm going to beat this guy and I'm going to teach him, or he's going to beat me and he's going to teach me something. But I can always stand to learn something from my partner. That's, I always try when I'm in BJJ, I always try and roll with the black belts, or roll with the master. I know they can beat me, but it's not about winning. It's about just being as good as you can be.
It's a safe environment also, right? Because you know that, okay, at the worst is I get some discomfort because my joint's not supposed to go that way or whatever. I'm actually supposed to be breathing right now. Okay, let me just tap here. So it was there did it how long did it take you to kind of get over that feeling of like, oh my gosh, I can't breathe. There's panic there, and there's like, oh, this doesn't feel right, or whatever. Did you get acclimated to that pretty quickly, or?
Well, I'd say with the sparring, that was the first time I encountered something like that. So I think the first time you encounter something like that, it's going to take a little bit longer for the shock to wear off. And I think that probably took about 6 months.
Oh, okay.
With the BJJ, it was much quicker. It's a real tight, like, family environment. And we laugh and joke, and you can even talk while you're rolling with the guy, which is kind of weird. My wife always asks when we're talking about what we did over the weekend while we're trying to choke each other out. But We do, you know, like, hey, how's your, you know, daughter doing or whatever. And but there's this attitude of respect, and we're all trying to help each other, and we're not there to kill each other. We're there to all of us get better in the studio and to help each other. And if I'm rolling with a white belt, you know, I slow down and, you know, help him out, and you might want to try this, you might want to put your foot here right now, or, you know, and just trying to help him. It's, I mean, what do I gain from beating a white belt and tapping him out 16 times in a round? You know, that's not what we're about. So, you know, I might tap him out once and then do the same move again slower and walk him through how to do it so that he sees what happens if he doesn't counter it, but let him counter it. You know what I mean?
Is there a bit of that though, where kind of ego comes into play, where especially if you've been doing it for a while, and then somebody of a lower rank than you or hasn't been doing it as long as you gets you?
Yeah, for sure. There definitely ego comes into play, you know, which, you know, this guy he's been doing it for 6 months. What's he get me like that for? Or, you know, the other is true too, which, you know, I can beat up on the black belts pretty good in the Taekwondo. And, you know, ego comes into play there. It's like, hey, I just took on a black belt, and, you know, and I'm not a black belt. And I think that's just part of being human. I try not to let it get the better of me. But I'm not gonna lie, that it does. There's something satisfying about beating up a black belt. I, you know.
Yeah. Absolutely goes both ways,
Yeah.
right? Yeah.
Right.
That's awesome, man. Dude, this was great. Yeah, we can talk about this all day, man. But I appreciate your insights, dude. And like I said, I mean, it's very different when you come across folks that are they're like, I don't even want to say it, they're lifers, man. They can call themselves martial artists, right? They don't say I do BJJ or I do TKD or whatever it might be. It's like, I mean, yeah, no, I am this,
Right.
you know. And they're not married to just one style or another. Like, you know, that's gonna be the thing. Like, there's a play, there's room for them to grow all around.
Right.
So, that's great, man. Dude, Jonathan, thanks again, man. It's awesome.
Thanks for having me, man. That was fun.
Guys, I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Jonathan as much as I did. I really appreciated his perspective on training in the martial arts, but also the way that he and his family use the martial arts as a way to connect with each other. That's it for today's episode, folks. Again, just keep your eyes and ears peeled for more information about the upcoming webinar series with Dr. Megan Horn on women's self-defense. And that's it. This is Philip with the Everyday Fighter Podcast. Talk to you next time.